voice of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yes, we are at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch on this show. People say, well, what does that mean? Here, I'll give you some truth right now.
Well, this is very controversial, though.
I'm going to give you some of the truth is our bitch truth on this show. If you got a woman in your life whose father was a no-good slob, a bum, and you're a really great guy, you know what I mean by great guy. I mean, you got a job. You're not mooching off of her. You don't smack her around. You treat her good. You haven't got a prayer.
That is so much horse dung.
Just listen to me, okay? Because this is absolutely the truth. This is the absolute rock-solid truth of life when it comes to relationships, women, and the whole daddy thing. If you guys are always wondering, who are these chicks? Because you see them all the time. These chicks that stay with these slobs. These drug-abusing, alcoholic, abusive slobs. And then there are the guys out there, like myself and others. You guys know who you are. Where we hold down a job, we make a pretty good penny. We don't get any particular delight in smacking a woman around. We don't do that. We, generally are faithful, and we present a fairly decent prospect for, you know, not just security, but also actual real love, right? And yet there she is going back to this piece of garbage that she, you know, that smacked her around. And you're sitting going, what the hell is wrong? Do yourself a big favor, man. You know what you got going on. Get the hell away from her and go and find somebody that's worthy, okay? Don't waste your time.
What, are you talking about that lady's going to want to be beaten up?
That's what you're saying. You're saying women are basically masochistic.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there's some women that that if all they know... Look, at the reason why I'm bringing this up, you guys, I'm not right out of the blue. Here it is. Here's the headline. Rihanna says her relationship with Chris Brown is unbreakable. Now, I don't know, Rihanna, if I was to step over her in the street, or Chris Brown. I don't know either one of these guys. I know that they're both... I know Chris Brown. I've heard his music, and I don't like it. But that's neither here nor there. Rihanna has moved on from her turbulent past as she claims that she's happy to get back together with the Turn Up the Music singer Chris Brown, acknowledging their relationship in an exclusive interview for LUK. The Barbadian singer says that their relationship is now more grown up. She said grown up. Now that we're adults, we can do this right. We got a fresh start and we're thankful for that, she says. She's 25. She's a 25-year-old singer. She sounds confident that she describes the strongest bond between them. Right now, that's just what we want, a great friendship that's unbreakable. Now that we're grown up. When asked why she decided to reunite with him, Rihanna admits she has thought a lot about it. She, before finally coming up with that decision, I've my own reasons, very, very private reasons, very personal. Yeah, because you were around that, Rihanna. Growing up, you were around guys that smacked women around and threw them out of cars. I don't know. I don't care. That's what you know. That's what you think love is. And that's the way it's going to be for you. And you know what you're doing all the way to the grave. I don't know.
That's a horrible thing to say about a young woman. Don't you think she knows and has the right to make her own decision?
She has every right in the world to make her own decisions. But I'm speaking more to the guys now. I'm not going to try to talk her out of it. And you know, if there's a man out there, if you think you're going to talk a woman out of this, forget it. They ain't never going to happen, man. You aren't going to go up to her and say, look at me. Look at how good I am. I'm not going to treat you like that, baby. They don't respect that. And I'm not putting a woman down for that. I'm not saying, you know, that she's lower than you or she isn't good enough. I'm not putting her down. I'm saying that they simply cannot respect that. Some women need a guy in their life like an abusive, alcoholic, drug addicted. You think it's crazy and you think that I'm talking crazy. I'm not. It's the absolute honest to God truth. And the best thing you can do is walk away from that real fast, Charlie, because you got no chance. You got no chance at all.
I think that is absolute. I want to make my point. A woman wants to be treated very well and sweetly and flowers.
Oh, flowers? Would you stop, please?
If you give her flowers, why don't you want to believe that good treatment...
Margaret.
Hold on. That good treatment and real love can win out over all.
I just don't believe it. I mean, it's not that I don't believe in love. It's not that I don't believe in goodness and sweetness and light. And I'm sure that I'll get the emails, as I always do, from people saying, hey, let me tell you, Phil, let me tell you how my relationship was fantastic and my girl and this and that. And we, now we have a great, I mean, that's fine. You know, and I'm not calling you a liar. And I'm not saying that I don't believe you. Sure. Okay. I'll believe you, but I'll never, ever, as long as I'm alive, whether I get 100 emails from people a day saying, oh, well, I had a chick in my life and she's now in my, you know, she's my wife and she got her ass kicked by her previous boyfriend, but now she realizes what a sweetheart I am. I don't care if I get 100 of those a day. I'm never going to believe it. Never.
That means you got a closed mind about it.
No, it doesn't mean I got a closed mind. You're going to hate this. It means that I know better.
Oh, you know me. Mr. Henry.
Wow, man, that must be nice knowing everything.
Yeah, it must be nice knowing everything.
It must be really nice.
Knowing everything? Yes. Don't you remember Holly Hunter in Broadcast News? The guy said, wonderful. It must be wonderful to know the answers and know what to do. She goes, no, it isn't. It's terrible.
What?
Never mind. The singer says that she made it clear that getting back together does not mean that she has accepted her beau's behavior 4 years ago. No, I didn't accept anything. I'm not accepting anything. If he throws me out of a car onto my chin out in the street one more time, I'm really going to get mad, she said. Her faith in the new beginning of the relationship is clearly it's going to be and how she wants it to be. She wants marriage. They're making baby plans. She said, I made it very clear to Chris that if you were to take our child, our newborn baby, and toss the child from a car while speeding down PCH and looking at it bounce in the rearview mirror down the road, that would really make me angry and we'd have to talk about it, she said.
Let me see that.
Don't take that from me.
Your thoughts tapped in, see nothing in here.
Well, do you think, man? Do you think maybe I was kidding?
Well, that was about as disgusting a thing as I've ever heard.
What did I say? Talking about a kid bouncing down the road.
Yeah, that's a baby, Phil.
What baby got hurt, man? Was there a baby that got hurt? I don't see a baby that got hurt.
Well, the virtual baby did.
Yeah, and you talk about Dave Baby Watkins. Let's talk about that for a minute. If you made a movie out of that and Dave Baby got involved, Dave Baby would probably charge a higher rate than most baby actors. Next thing you know, they bust the budget. You can't see the movies. And you said all of that with a straight face, didn't you?
What's wrong with that?
First of all, I don't believe there's an actor named Dave Baby Watkins out there. First of all, that's what I believe in this Art Griego thing. Secondly, even if there was a cat named Dave Baby Watkins playing baby parts, that if there was a scene where Dave Baby Watkins' character got thrown out of a car and bounces down a highway, they'd probably use Bill Murray's famous stunt baby.
Yeah, stunt baby Saturday Night Live.
Right. And thirdly, and I do believe that if there was a guy named Dave Baby Watkins playing baby parts, there's bound to be a stunt baby out there somewhere. So I don't think it would bust the budget.
Well, you do have a point.
Yes, I do. Anyway, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, concerning this bit of news, Rihanna's faith in the new beginning of the relationship is clearly, well, as I said, it's clearly shown by what she has in mind, marriage and baby plans. And as she said, she doesn't want to see the kid bouncing down the street in a rearview mirror. So there you go, Rihanna and Chris Brown. But just remember what I said. Just remember what I said. You haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a snowball's chance in hell. Unless she's some kind of remarkable woman who's learned her lessons and suddenly realizes, you know, I've been barking up the wrong tree all these years. And, you know, living with a guy that, you know, kicks me in the stomach, pulls my hair, throws me through a window, rolls me down the hill in snow, throws me into the trunk of the car, sets fire to the car as I'm handcuffed, allows me to finally, you know, pry myself free as I crawl to the nearest substation and ask for help. And then I say, by the way, can you give me a ride back home so I can be with my boyfriend at these times of trouble? Because I'm sure he's really upset over the fact that he set the car on fire with me in it.
Oh, Phil, you must think women are idiots.
I do not think women are idiots. No, I don't think women are idiots. No, I don't. I think women are hooked into that myth. Kiss enough frogs, you find a prince. They're not idiots. That's an archetype that women cannot escape. They can't get away from it. They'll never be able to get away from it because it's an ancient archetype. It's rescuing a man. It's kissing the frog and making a prince. It's not got anything to do with dumb. They're hooked into that. You know, we're always talking about guys, how we haven't got this, we haven't got that. Guys don't know this, guys don't know. Men are always going after women with big breasts. Guys are, you know, you can talk all you want about the things that men are sort of hardwired into, but this is, you know, So you mark my words and take a look at Rihanna and Chris Brown and find out what happens there. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back. Other news. Did we already talk to Art about the Bible? Yeah, we did. Okay. Art's not going to be watching the Bible because the torture scene is too much for him. Here's big news, folks. Kim Kardashian took her brother and sister out to lunch.
Wow!
That's it. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, so there's some truth that's a bitch. Here is more truth on the NASCAR circuit. We got Donica Patrick here. And according to this particular article, she is, you know, she's looking at the challenges this year in the NASCAR, you know, in the world of NASCAR, in stock car racing, the Sprint Cup Series. And right now, some people think that she deserves to be ranked in the top 10, which she is, given the points, the first race of the season being Daytona, and now the second race of the season there at Phoenix. Her coming-out party at Daytona was impressive. She started from the pole, led five laps, and ran more circuits, 113 among the top three positions, than any other driver before finishing eighth. So what do you think about Donica Patrick and...
Well, I think that, this is my prediction. I think that Donica Patrick is a good race car driver, but I do not think she represents any large movement of women driving in NASCAR. I just don't think. I think it's going to be like soccer. And by that I mean, I think there will be this belief that there will be a flood of interest in automobile racing among young girls, women. And just as people thought there would be a flood of interest in soccer when it first started in the late 60s in this country, and I don't think it's going to be there, not for a long time.
Well, why are you saying that? Don't you think women want to drive a car fast?
Yeah, every woman I ever seen likes to drive it fast.
Driving a car fast in traffic doesn't necessarily equate to automobile racing.
Well, I would agree with Margaret. You know?
You do?
Yeah, I agree with Margaret because here's my feeling. I think that NASCAR, automobile racing, that sport represents an interesting challenge to women, and I think it's like the Mount Everest of sports for women. If I can climb that mountain, then I can say that I've climbed that mountain. Now,
what does that mean?
In other words,
climb that mountain. Say I'm going to climb a mountain.
What?
Man, why don't you let him finish?
No, I just wonder what it meant.
I'm going to tell you, okay? Sitting there going, N-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n. Talk about mealy mouth.
Just let him finish, bud.
What I was going to say is it represents a challenge for women. Oh, wow, look at that, automobile racing. And I can do anything. This is times have never been better for women in terms of profession, in terms of what it is they want to do. And look at that, man, I can be a NASCAR driver. Now, how many women out there actually thirst to be NASCAR race car drivers? I have no idea. There may be a bunch. There may not be that many. May not be anything that's really occurred to a lot of women. I don't know. But it exists. Now, there's this young lady, Donica Patrick. She is now one of the elite. She is a member of a fairly elite group. And that is a group of drivers that drive professionally on the NASCAR circuit, the National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing.
So that's what it stands for.
Yes. And when it comes to oval track racing in the United States, that is the creme de la creme, baby, along with IndyCar. But I would say that NASCAR is even more prestigious than IndyCar. IndyCar has its own prestige, but and even internationally, I think oval track racing, when it comes to that kind of car, is quite exciting. The speeds are incredible. The proximity of the automobiles that are racing is exciting and dangerous, and it's quite exciting for spectators. She's part of that elite. Now, when you say let's go up the mountain and let's plant our flag in Mount Everest,
Well, now it's starting to get sexual and everything.
Why is it getting...
Bud, would you shut... What do you mean getting sexual?
Talk about playing a flag in it.
What's that got to do with anything?
Hey, Bud, I'll monitor whether the show's getting sexual or not, okay?
You said you're going to climb it and plant a pole in it. That's all I'm trying to say. God, man, take a deep breath and figure it out, will you?
Your mind, Bud, we already know, marinates in dung. We know that it marinates in farm dung. We know this, Bud. So that when you hear a man say, I'm going to climb it and shove a pole in it, well...
Oh, is he convincing you now?
Well, that was graphic, Phil.
I never said anything like that. I never said anything like that.
I heard Mr. Henry said, he said, climb a Mount Everest and plant your flag in it.
I didn't say I'm going to climb it and shove a pole in it.
Well, same difference.
It is kind of the same difference.
You know, it's interesting how you started out seeing my way on this, and now you're agreeing with this moron.
Not a moron. Making a good point.
Oh, you're not making a good point. In any event, like Mount Everest, you can say that people have climbed Mount Everest and put their flag in it, but how many? How many? How many people are actually want to climb up that mountain? And I think the same thing's going to be with women. I don't think you're going to see stock car racing truly represented by lots of female drivers for a couple of generations. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to see the odd female, not even the odd female. I think it may get to the point annually you'll see 3-4 women who are considered to be among the elite. I think it'll expand from there. You've got one now. Anybody remember Janet Guthrie?
I remember Janet Guthrie. I don't know if she was NASCAR or not.
Janet Guthrie was an IndyCar driver. And so Janet Guthrie raced back before the Indy Racing League, back when it was still USAC. And those were the open wheel cars that raced at Indy and these other USAC events.
What do you mean by USAC?
Yes, I was going to ask that. Phil, why do you get a frustrated look on your face? I'm just trying to monitor what you're doing. USAC, and then you're climbing something and shoving a pole up into it.
Man, I never said anything like that. You really want to take this into filth. You, United States Automobile Club.
Well, you say United States Automobile, you're making a lot of stuff up.
No, I'm not. And if you keep on butting in with your big fat mouth, I'm going to throw you out of here. United States Automobile Club. National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing. SCCA, Sports Car Club of America, okay? IRL, Indy Racing League. Okay?
Well, you sound like you know what you're doing.
Thank you. Now, Janet Guthrie was a part of that. I don't know what the top finish was for Janet Guthrie. I do know that Janet Guthrie raced in USAC and finished a couple of Indy 500s respectively, but I don't really know. And that was back in the early 80s. And then there was, I think there might have been the odd female. You know what's interesting? Nobody brings this up. Drag racing. Shirley Muldowney. Cha-Cha Muldowney is what they called her.
Well, see, I always thought that was rather sexy. Cha-Cha Muldowney. I think they had Shirley Muldowney because they needed to have that sexy cha-cha, you know, that a Hispanic cha-cha big-butted girl.
What's that got to do with her winning races?
Well, isn't stock car racing like wrestling?
No, it is not.
No, it isn't.
It's not.
No. It's got nothing to do with that. No. Are you saying that they set things up?
Yes.
No. No way.
I thought it kind of was, too.
No, that's a terrible thing to say. Drag racing is 100% legitimate. 1,000,000% legitimate.
Well, then why do they have people like Cha-Cha and the Mongoose and all of that stuff?
Because that's the nature of the... You know, drag racing started on the streets. And drag racing was a part of street culture. And you might even say that drag racing was a part of some gang culture. I mean, it came right out of youth street culture America. And so, naturally, there was all these nicknames and crazy-ass, you know, Big Daddy Roth cartoons. And it was a crazy, youth-oriented street kind of racing. And so I think you're going to see the nicknames like Cha-Cha and Mongoose and Big Daddy and all that stuff. That was just the nature, but it is entirely legitimate. And to say that it is like wrestling or, you know...
Well, the music's playing, and that generally means Dan thinks you're a liar.
No, it doesn't. It means we got a commercial break. All right, we're coming right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't go away. Don't go away.
Well, I don't know.
Phil Hendry.
Now, you know, Dan and I were just talking here, and I don't think this is fair at all. You know, I don't know who these people think they are, these environmental groups. I'm a big, big fan. I am. I'm a big, big fan of keeping the air clean. And that, I'm not just talking, because I grew up in a city, Los Angeles, that has filthy air or had filthy air, and big strides have been made in L.A. now. You can, in the summertime... When it used to be just the nastiest ass weather you ever saw in your life, in the summertime, you can drive around in L.A. and you got nice clean air, and you know, some days it's not, but it's still a situation here in L.A. County. And I grew up in the armpit of the county, which is the San Gabriel Valley.
Oh God, that is disgusting out there. You grew up there?
Yes. What do you mean? Come on, Mark. Don't talk about it like it's a sewer. I mean, it ain't Santa Monica, you know.
Well, I mean, you're out breathing the air up there. You are right. It is like an armpit.
Yeah, and an armpit has got B.O. And the thing you have to understand, Mr. Henry, is you're in B.O. Central.
If you go to talk B.O. Central, yeah.
Oh, really? I'm in B.O. I don't live there anymore.
The fact of the matter is that the San Gabriel Valley is the B.O. It's the B.O. And I'm glad Bud put it that way. It is the very center of B.O.
Okay, I get it. Is your point to humiliate that area so much that what happens?
That they start to clean it up out there, Phil, because either they start cleaning it up or someone's going to take charge and do it for them.
Now, we're talking about dirty air. What are they supposed to do out there? L.A. County is what controls that. And I'm saying that it has been cleaner than it ever has been. What do you mean, B.O.?
That's what it is. San Gabriel Valley is a B.O. magnet.
That's a very good way of putting it, yes. And what I'm saying is this. It's a filthy, filthy area. The people are good people. There are beautiful homes out there. There's no question, Phil. The foothills are out there, beautiful. But it is a fetid, funky, funky ass. Jeez.
You know, here's my response to that. It's been better now than ever before. The air is cleaner now than ever before. But we got all these. Would you call yourself one of these environmental Nazis?
I am very much on the warpath yet. Yes, I am.
Okay. Because what a lot of these environmental Nazis, well, excuse me for saying that.
No, that's all right. I'm proud of that. When it comes to being proud of the word Nazi, yes, I am proud of that aspect of Nazism.
Great. Because, you know. Nazis were not really environmentalists, but...
No, but we're talking about extremism.
Extremism in pursuit of what is right, I guess some people say, is no vice. But the point that I am trying to make here is that in the world of drag racing, in the world of street racing that became drag racing, there are all kinds of different vehicles that one can race. And some of these are emission standard cars. Some of these are 50s and 60s automobiles, that it is legal not only on the streets of California to run these automobiles with their original equipment. That is the emission control kinds of equipment on these cars. They don't have to exist to the extent that they do on other cars. You can run a dragster the same way, or rather a funny car or a stock, whatever it is that you're running on a drag strip, you can run that with its original equipment. Now, a lot of environmentalists look at that and they say, oh, that's bad. That's bad.
Well, it is bad, Phil.
It's not causing the smog pit out there in the San Gabriel Valley, okay? It's not causing the BO center that you guys are calling it. Drag racing does not amount to, in terms of pollution, drag racing is a symbol. It's not a major cause of pollution.
Phil, you just got done telling me before we went on the air that you grew up in the armpit of Los Angeles County, and you also said...
Yeah, this man. Yeah, right here. Yeah.
You also said that was a center of drag racing in Los Angeles. Didn't you say that, Mr. Henry?
What, are you giving a speech here in a courtroom or something?
Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did say that. Yes, I did. That's where a lot of drag racing takes place, out in East L.A. County. That's got nothing to do with the fact that there's all kinds of smog. They let them drag race out there because it's already a smog pit. And I think it's the biggest bunch of horse dung to say, well, now we better shut down drag racing because that causes pollution. All kinds of stuff causes pollution. All kinds of stuff. You know what else causes pollution? A lot of nonsensical driving, a lot of jive-ass bullcrap driving. If you want to shut down someone's amusement like drag racing, why don't you just shut down the number of times that people take a drive, the number of times that people are driving for no reason, the number of times that people are just skirting around town, one person to a car. I mean, there's all kinds of areas where you could cut back on frivolous, wasteful, and polluting driving.
Phil, you are not about to tell me or any member of my family when we are allowed to get into an automobile and drive, all right?
Well, then why do you get to tell some guy who, for sport, is drag racing? I mean, you know, these are people that are testing carburation and tires.
Oh, here we go again with the test pilots of the automobile business. Is that it?
Yeah, you're saying that. So what?
I'm saying that a guy in a drag on a drag strip, a car on a drag strip, is doing more good for society than some jackass taking a Sunday drive.
It's so vile, I would call it bigoted and racist.
What's racist about it?
Nothing, but it is offensive to that degree that I can't get in the car with my husband and son and have a pleasurable drive without being called vile names.
I didn't call you any names.
No, you didn't call me a name, Phil, but you're thinking filthy things about me.
No, I'm not.
What?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are, Mr. Henry.
No, I am not. No, I am not. No, I'm not. I'm saying a guy on a drag strip does more good for society in terms of what he is finding out about that car, about the fuel, about the engine, about the moving parts, about the tires. What they're finding out on drag strips and on racetracks all over America does more good for this country than a jive ass in his car driving around on a Sunday afternoon with nowhere to go, just, you know, burning up fuel and polluting the air. And you're trying to tell me that I didn't call anybody a name.
You just said a jive ass, didn't you?
Yes.
That's racism. It's not racist.
No, it isn't racist. Why do you call it that? The point, all right, so I won't call the guy a name. Then some man driving around on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, you can't take it back now.
Yeah, you can. Because the point's still the same.
The point is still the same. So, you know, if you want to talk about, and I think it's pretty low, and so it's such an easy move, and it's controversial. That's why they do it. That's why they do it. That's why these environmental nuts, excuse me for saying that, that's why these environmental people, they choose a high priority, they choose a high-profile target, I should say, like drag racing. And they take it on, and they say it ought to be eliminated because they know it's going to get people interested and upset and angry. And suddenly it, you know, shines a big white-hot spotlight on their nonsense, and people get angry like I'm getting angry. Are you guys really serious about that?
Phil, if we are pushed to it, we're serious about a lot of things. If you insist, if you reserve the right to go out on a Sunday afternoon and sit there in your mother's galaxy or whatever, and you've got your hair in that processed pompadour, so you've got the jelly roll with the waterfall effect curl, the Chico Jr. boots, the Ford Galaxy with the real garbage pit drivetrain.
Yeah.
I mean...
Since when did you all of a sudden get to know drag racing?
I know drag racing. Don't worry about it. I used to go out on amateur night. And the light turns green, you pop the clutch, the drivetrain hits the pavement, you've got to be pushed off the track, There goes another cloud of poison into the air. No. No, no. Not me. Well, you can laugh if you want.
That is about the most weird description. A guy with a jelly or what? You know.
But say it again. It's a guy with a processed pompadour with a jelly roll and a waterfall effect. Chico Jr. boots. He's in his mom's Ford Galaxy. He's got the drivetrain that when you pop the clutch, when the light turns green, the drivetrain hits the pavement.
And they have to push the car off the track.
Yeah.
That's a really pathetic thing that you just described there. Have you seen that?
Have I seen it? Get a load of him. Have I seen it? Just about every week when I was a kid.
Where?
Down at Lyons.
Down at Lyons. So you've lived around drag strips, too, and you're saying that they need to be eliminated. I think it's almost like you're stabbing it in the back. And I think for every guy that you see that goes out there on amateur night and the drivetrain hits the cement and he's got to be pushed off the track, for every one of those guys, there are people that are making a success of it. And not only that, as I said, their successful driving leads to better passenger cars. And I challenge anybody taking a joyride on a Sunday afternoon to show that they're doing anything better. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Friday night, now Saturday morning. We're down to the bottom of the barrel. This has made headlines, man. The Kardashians go to lunch. I like that. I'm not going to make fun of that. That's, everybody's got to eat.
Yeah, well, especially when it comes to Kim Kardashian.
Anyway, we'll be back with that and other falderall on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is really creepy. A Florida man swallowed by a sinkhole. Did you see this?
What?
That's what the headline is. It's quite scary. A sinkhole that swallowed a Florida man when it collapsed the bedroom portion of his home overnight is extremely unstable and is expected to grow bigger and too dangerous for rescuers to approach, according to the Hillsborough County officials. Until we know where it's safe to bring the equipment in, we really are just handicapped and paralyzed and can't really do a whole lot more than just sit and wait, said Hillsborough County Fire Chief Ron Rogers. He was talking to reporters during the evening. It's a tough situation. It's even tougher for the family.
Oh my God, that is horrifying.
Absolutely horrifying. The hole that pulled in Jeff Bush, age 36, opened up at around 11 p.m. Thursday night in Sefner, Florida, authorities said. That was last night. This is Friday night, Saturday morning. Family members heard a sound that they described as a car crash emanating from the bedroom in the back of the house. The family rushed into the room where Bush was sleeping, according to ABC News Tampa affiliate WFTS-TV. All they could see was part of a mattress sticking out of the hole. Essentially, the floor of the room had opened up. God.
That's like that Twilight Zone.
No, that ain't like the Twilight Zone, okay?
The Twilight Zone with a little girl.
No, it's not. This is actually a real tragedy here, okay? Twilight Zone with a little girl. You think the guy got pulled into another dimension? This poor man, I hate to speculate, but if he got pulled down into a sinkhole, I mean, I don't see how the guy's alive. I'm sorry. I mean, it's possible, because I don't have any experience with this sort of thing, but the hole remained 20 to 30 feet wide this evening, officials said, but it had progressively deepened beyond the 20 feet seen earlier in the day. The soil cannot hold the slope that it is right now, said Larry Madrid, president of Madrid Engineering Group, which is a sinkhole expert called in by the county. Engineers feared a further sudden collapse because the house sat on fluid, sandy soil, and they remained uncertain about where the unstable area ended. God, that is just absolutely gruesome. Poor man. Author, another collapse could happen now. It could happen days from now, according to Marit. It could happen slowly. It could happen quickly. The partially collapsed house and two neighboring houses have been evacuated. As items fall in from the house, they get pulled down in, according to Bill Bracken, an engineer working with the Hillsborough County Search and Rescue. Given the size of the hole, I cannot tell you why the whole house hasn't collapsed yet, but it has not. The instability meant rescuers were unable to continue searching for Jeff Bush within the house. As I told the family earlier, the only thing that that could be worse than what they're feeling now for their loss would be to experience additional human loss. That's the dilemma, and the dilemma is a very painful dilemma for everyone.
Good God.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew. These sinkholes, and you hear about them in Florida and elsewhere, these are unpredictable things. Unpredictable things. Now, I know there are geological studies that can be made when you're talking about soil or the actual, you know, soil or rock that you're building a house on, and you can see what you've got. I don't know what the law states in Florida, but I imagine it's similar. You've got to make sure that you're building on something solid, but I don't know how you predict these things.
Is it like quicksand?
No, it's not like quicksand. It's different. This is a sinkhole. It's like a big subterranean hole that has finally expanded to the point where the soil above it is beginning to fall in. And you could go online and you can take a look at sinkholes. Just enter in sinkhole in a search engine, and all you got to do is hit images, and you're going to see some weird-looking stuff, man. I mean, huge sinkholes that have literally swallowed whole city blocks. So it's a scary thing. Family waits for word of Florida man swallowed by sinkhole. I just don't see how, this poor guy can be around. Jimmy Buffett's in the news. He is a professional musician, singer, songwriter, very big with my generation because, well, Jimmy sang of the joys of drinking margaritas and not working, and as far as I'm concerned, they don't get much better than that. And
well, they called them parrot heads, didn't they?
Yes, they call them. Jimmy Buffett's fans are parrot heads, and the reason why they're parrot heads is I don't know, because of the whole Key West Florida thing, and just because of the whole Florida thing, but more to the point, the Key West thing, the tropical wild parrot, multicolored, weird ass Ernest Hemingway thing.
What is that again?
It's a certain part of Florida that is more of a tropical, drink margaritas, maybe smoke a fat blunt, maybe not.
Oh, boy, you're going to get in trouble smoking a fat blunt.
Well, Bud,
You guys shut up. In any event, that's what Buffett represents, you know. And the parrot heads, the fan base of Jimmy Buffett's music, the fans that follow him around are everywhere. I was sitting in a bar in Minneapolis when I was working up there at WCCO. I was sitting in some bar in the warehouse district around the Target Center, which is where basketball and hockey and concerts, you know, it's a major downtown arena. In any event, as I'm sitting there, the place starts filling up with these parrot heads. And they start playing Jimmy Buffett music. Now, this is up in Minnesota. The guy's fans are everywhere, but these guys, and they're all ages, too. People in their 20s all the way up their 60s, and they're wearing hats with parrots on them.
Real parrots?
No, stuffed parrots, fake parrots, you know.
It'd be fake parrots, Bud.
I don't know.
Anyway, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they're this, and they're that. And I'm telling you, around the corner comes a limousine, and the window rolls down, and it's Buffett. Now, this is one of those things that if you've been smoking too much weed or drinking too much, you'll generally hear some guy, and I swear to God, man, it was Jimmy Buffett. Are you serious? Yeah, I swear to you. Yeah, sure. But I'm telling you, I was stone cold sober.
Well, you said you were in there drinking.
I had just started, okay? I didn't care whether I saw Jimmy Buffett or not. I look, and there he is. I found out from other people later on, this Buffett does this all the time. He pulls up to some bar outside of where he's going to play. He waves at people, says hello, and then he speeds off. So, that's what happened there. And they went on, and I'm sure everybody had a great time. But here's the thing that I wanted to tell you about Jimmy Buffett. His name ain't Warren Buffett. And he does not own any newspapers. He certainly doesn't own one in Arkansas, which is why I got to thinking about Jimmy Buffett, a story about Warren Buffett.
Are you out of your mind, Hick?
That's what I'm going to do with that story. So anyway, let that be a lesson to you. Great being with you guys tonight, as usual. And we will be back on Monday evening. Yeah. And be looking forward to our next Bobby Dooley podcast. She will be on with Sugar Ray Leonard, the great former middleweight champion and Olympic champion, Bobby Dooley and Sugar Ray Leonard. That'll be rolling out next week, and of course, more of our regular podcasts. We've got two more podcasts we're going to be rolling out, one of which is going to be a video cast. That's exactly right. You will be seeing that turning up on the Sideshow Network as well. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass, too, because I'm telling you, without that, you just don't have a chance. You don't have a prayer. You don't have a prayer, a snowball's chance in hell of having yourself a couple of laughs in this here world.
That's the truth.
So go to philhenryshow.com with that backstage pass, and it'll hook you up to all kinds of wonderful things, like our video cast, like our thousands of hours of archive material, like our daily show podcasts, like, you know, it's like that there, man. Until Monday night at 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, 1 a.m. Tuesday morning on the East Coast, this is Phil Henry for Dan Northcraft and all of the little people, you know who you are, saying, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry's Wardrobe by the Phil Henry Online Store.
Phil Henry.